Living Hope. I'm Ron. I'm also one of the elders, and I'm serving as senior pastor here at Living Hope. It's good to have you here. Thanks for choosing to join us this morning. This morning, I've asked Christopher Peters, to bring the message this morning. Christopher, I know many of you know him. Christopher is also one of the elders here at Living Hope. So actually, all of us have been up front at one time or another, except Jay. Kevin was doing the announcement. Richard came up and, So figure out a way to work Jay in the sermon and make him come up here without any advance notice and make him say something. See, he's not even here to hear this, so when you do it, he'll be totally surprised. One of the things on my heart, or that I'm very interested in slash open to, is allowing God to speak through various leaders at Living Hope. I do not have a monopoly on preaching or teaching. And Christopher, a number of you through either life group settings or whatever have experienced his teaching. This is a new realm for him, a Sunday morning message like this. But I've been talking to the elders and more specifically to Christopher about wanting him not only to bring a message, but to bring this message. And he'll tie it in with the series. But as you know, we've been going through the series on the Holy Spirit. And several weeks ago, I suggested that I believe that the power of the Holy Spirit, the purpose of the power of the Holy Spirit, is primarily threefold. It's the transformation of our lives into a new creation. It's power for ministry, to minister to one another. And these two kind of overlap, but ministry and but then also power for mission. And you see that in the early church so clearly. And that, I know, is Christopher's heart. So I said, I want you to bring this power for mission message. There's so much. And we'll be in this more times and for a longer period. But to kick this off, I've asked Christopher to lead us in that this morning. So I'm going to get out of the way and let you do that. Let me pray for you. And then you'll see how that all ties in. But I've asked him to share on that this morning. So, Father, I thank you for Christopher, his wife Mary Grace, for their children, God, for the blessing they've been to Living Hope. It's a joy serving with him, Father, on the elder team. And Holy Spirit, just speak through him now. I know this message is the message that's on his heart. And so we pray that you would just speak through him to translate that to us, to communicate that to us. And God, that our hearts would be receiving this crucial and central message of the gospel. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thanks. So let's start with the scriptures this morning. That's the best place to start. Your bulletin says John 17. We're going to start in John 14 this morning, and we will get to John 17 unless people get restless for the picnic. So let's turn to John 14, and I just pray that you would allow the scriptures to speak to you this morning by the power of the Holy Spirit, which is what we've been talking about. So if you turn to John 14, we're going to start in verse 15 this morning. People are still flipping. Okay. If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. And jump down there to verse 25 also. All this I have spoken while still with you, but the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. I do not give to you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled and do not be afraid. Okay, well, twice in there, the word counselor pops up. I believe that's the NIV. Believe comforter shows up. Does anybody have any other words in their translations? Mainly counselor and comforter? Helper? Okay. Advocate? Okay, good. So, a lot, you know, when I look at those words, they don't kind of jive. They don't necessarily seem synonymous. So, because I like to do this, I pulled out the Greek on that word, and I think it's a little helpful here this morning to see what is that word really getting at. So the Greek, and forgive me for the Greek scholars here, is parakletos, para and kletos. So para is like paralegal or parachurch. So you have a paralegal who helps a lawyer or a parachurch organization who would come alongside of a church to fill in the blanks where they're not doing the, where they're not doing some certain ministry. So it's literally in the Greek, para means by the side. So you take that, and then kletos, or however you might pronounce it, comes from the meaning, or comes from the word kaleo, which means to call. So another example of that is Mark 3:13. Jesus calls the 12 disciples to himself. And the word there is actually proskaleo. So he's calling the disciples to himself. So in that instance, Jesus is calling disciples to himself. But in our instance this morning, Jesus is calling the Holy Spirit to our side. And I think that's a really powerful thing here. I'm going to try to not, I do have slides, and I'm going to try not to forget them. So let's just put this up once again. Everybody's familiar with this. If you've been here for any or most of the 13 weeks here. So we've gone through a number of these, and right now we're on the fourth P here, which is the power. So let me suggest, well, the other words, which most of you guys mentioned, I just wanted to say, was advocate, intercessor, helper, to plead somebody's case. So all those wrapped up into what the Holy Spirit is. So let me suggest one other thing, Holy Spirit in you, on you. Let me also suggest this morning that, and Pastor Ron, you don't have to use this going forward, but that the Holy Spirit is by your side as well. Straight in what that word means. I think that's your first note there on your in your bulletin. Let's get back to the scripture. Let's keep going. We've got chapter 14, chapter 15 now in John. Flip to chapter 15, verse 26. It says, when the counselor comes, again the word counselor, whom I send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me from the beginning. And then keep going, jump into chapter 16 here. This is all, Jesus hasn't stopped talking here. Your red letter Bible, if you have it, is almost all red all the way through these chapters. So chapter 16, and jump to verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. In regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. So there's a couple things that stand out in that passage. I think the thing that I wanted to highlight there this morning about the Holy Spirit is that Jesus calls the Spirit of truth. And so in verse 13 in chapter 16 it says, but when he, the Spirit of truth. So not only is he the Spirit of truth, but he's going to guide us in the truth as well. So that's your other blank on there this morning. I wanted to start with these chapters here before we got to 17, just to lay this as a groundwork of what the Spirit is in and how we experience the Spirit in mission. So let's take this, the fact that the Spirit is called to our side, he's by our side, and he will guide us in the truth as a foundation here. And this is going to build as we talk about mission and incarnation mission. And we're going to get into that a little bit. Kind of the sermon series that Pastor Ron was doing before he did the Spirit series, if you recall, we talked about incarnational. And we're going to jump back to that. So Jesus is continuing to speak here in chapter 17. So he's got 14, 15, 16, 17. There's 117 verses where Jesus is preaching or teaching his disciples. And he doesn't, I mean, there's a question or two in here, but he keeps teaching. So let's pick up, this is sometimes called his farewell sermon, so let's pick it up here in John 17 this morning after we laid that groundwork. And let's start in verse 11. It says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that scripture would be fulfilled. I am coming to you now, while I say these things, but I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may have the full measure of my joy within them. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, for they are not of the world, and more than I am of the world, any more than I am of the world. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you have sent me into the world, I have sent them into the world. For them I sanctify myself, that I too may be truly sanctified. So this part here, chapter 17, is Jesus' prayer. If you've got the NIV or maybe other versions, it's got some headings here. Says Jesus prays for himself, he prays for his disciples, he prays for all believers. So you'll notice in the verses that I just read that, okay, the Holy Spirit, the word counselor, the word comforter doesn't actually show up in there. Let me suggest that kind of Jesus has laid the groundwork in his teaching in 14, 15, and 16 by addressing the Holy Spirit. And pervasive in these verses here is him praying for the disciples after he's left, for them after he's left. So Jesus leaves, and he sends the Holy Spirit. And so within these verses, and how he would like these verses to be played out in the disciples' lives, is the understanding that the disciples have the Holy Spirit by their side and to teach them in truth. So these things can be accomplished here. The prayer is for them and for us after Jesus has left and the Holy Spirit has been given. So the first thing here, just as a groundwork, is verse 15 that I'm going to start with this morning. In chapter 17, verse 15, my prayer is not that you take them out of the world. When I was in like junior high school, one of my questions besides like predestination and free will and those classics was, why when you become saved, why when you accept Jesus as your Savior, do you not just get whisked away? Why don't you just get taken out of this place and you don't need to worry about everything? And why don't you just get to go to be with heaven, in heaven with Jesus? And I think you could probably come up with a few answers for that. The answer this morning for me is mission. That Jesus has left us in the world, to be part of his kingdom building experience. We are to be disciple makers, not just disciples, but we are supposed to, again, make disciples. How are we supposed to do that if he would whisk us away and there would be nobody here to share the gospel? I mean, that's his plan for here on earth, is that he went away and he gave us the Holy Spirit so that we can make more disciples. So in a literal sense, I would say, obviously we're here. He doesn't take us away. In a figurative sense, I feel like maybe we've taken ourselves out of the game, and that sometimes we take ourselves out of the world. And we're going to get into that in a little bit here. That maybe Jesus is praying that we stay in the world, and yet we've, okay, we're here, but we're not going to be with those guys over there. And there's a few reasons for that. So we're gonna talk about two reasons this morning. The first one is the rest of verse 15 here. My prayer is not that you take them out of the world, but that you protect them from the evil one. So here's the first reason we give to remove ourselves from the world around us, is we're trying to protect ourselves. The scripture says, who's doing the protecting here? I mean, it's in this chapter a number of times, but here in verse 15 it says that you protect them from the evil one. If you jump back up to verse 11, it says, Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name. And so the protection is not in our hands, and somehow, sometimes, we've taken protecting ourselves from the world around us into our hands, and thus we've kind of put up walls and we have not allowed the Holy Spirit to work in us to be disciple makers. And for example, let's just say, you know, there's somebody that really hurts you a lot, and so you want to disassociate from them, or there's somebody that you feel like maybe they're going to corrupt you in some sort of way, so you don't show up at their house. Or, you know, we're afraid of being ridiculed or being made fun of by our faith, and so we're putting up walls and we're trying to protect ourselves. And I don't see that here in the scripture. I don't see that that's what the process is. Now, obviously, you know, you don't want to be stupid, and you want to do some things that are wise and things in accordance with the Scripture. And I'm obviously not discounting that. But we don't want to take the protecting of ourselves into our own hands, because we're not going to do a good job. And that's the job of the Holy Spirit. It's the job of God the Father to do that. So, and how does he do that? Let's remember chapter 15 and 16. The Holy Spirit is by our side. If you've got the Holy Spirit by our side, you've got a protector by your side. You've got an advocate, is one of the words, translations for that word, by your side. And we've forgotten about the role of the Holy Spirit in mission. And we've kind of put up our own religious walls. And unfortunately, because of that, I think it's cost us ways to share the gospel with other people. So that protecting ourselves, you want to flip that around, you're right, Spirit protects us while in the world. The second thing I wanted to say that we kind of do on our own this morning is in verse 17. So stay here in chapter 17, verse 17. All right, I don't know if I've made anybody nervous or squirmy a little bit, but here we go. Let's keep going. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. As you've sent me into the world, I've sent them into the world. So sanctification here, I think, is another reason that we've given to separate ourselves from the world. Now hold with me for a little bit here, okay? But under the guise of trying to be good and maybe legalism, and to check off all the blanks and to do what we're supposed to do, we're trying to protect ourselves from the world around us. And again, we have no way to interact and allow the Holy Spirit to speak through us in mission. I think this is probably one of the biggest reasons, subconsciously probably. But for example, let's say there's a guy, your neighbor, he's a bit of a swearer. Okay, and he's got a really bad mouth, and he invites you over for a picnic. And so you might just naturally, and you might have some good verses to support this, but you might say, well, I'm not going over there because I don't want to hear that. That might be what the Lord is guiding you to do. That might be okay. But if everybody had that, and if the Holy Spirit wasn't guiding anybody to go over there, who would share the gospel with the man across the fence? So it might not be for you. You might not want to go to that picnic because you've got a 3- and 5-year-old and you don't want to have your 3- and 5-year-old come back and sharing some great new language at the dinner table, okay? So that might not be for you, but I don't want to discount mission by setting up walls like that. I think the American church, and let's just say it's the American church because I don't feel like it's what Living Hope's all about, but the American church can get into a Christian bubble. We've got our own Christian things. We only hang out with Christian people. All our friends on Facebook are Christians. We have a Christian mechanic, a Christian plumber. They don't know how to do the job, but at least they're honest. We've got Christian houses. It's our little castle. We got the fence. We don't have to see our neighbors. We've got our pictures on the wall that are lighthouses, but they're Christian because we put a verse at the bottom of them. And we got a Christian dog and our cat. Well, our cats aren't Christians. They cannot be Christians. Cats are a little selfish. So they would not, you know, take up their cross daily. They just, So we tell ourselves we are trying to not be tainted by the world, to justify removing ourselves from the world. But not only does this ignore our call to reach the world around us, but this is also not how sanctification works. So let's look at sanctification here in chapter 17. Oh, yes, let's get to these guys. If you've been here a while, you've seen the stick figures that Pastor Ron has been using. And I think this is the best part of the morning. I get to use these this morning. Let's talk about the word sanctify. It means set apart for sacred use. What does it mean to be set apart? So if you weren't here, the gray folks represent people that need to hear the gospel. The yellow person there is a person that has been saved, that's been changed, been transformed by Jesus. So is that what it means to be set apart? Is that being set apart in the world, or is that being set apart from the world? Okay, now, okay, so it's not usually just one guy. We've got a group of Christians together. So now, okay, hold on. Okay, do you see me there? Okay, that's me. And that's, I'm in there somewhere. Not really set apart. So I wrote sanctified question mark. Maybe this, maybe you don't agree with this exegetically or theologically, but for the sake of mission this morning, this is the way I see sanctification, the way I see being set apart. I'm not sure that's the way it is. I feel like that's separate. How is that group on the right? Do they holler at them from across the way? Are they holding up big signs like I saw downtown yesterday? Are we, you know, they just send an email over there? I don't know. So let's try a different option. All right, let's stick with this guy here. All right, there he is. There he is right there. Now, he stands out pretty well right there, I think. Is he set apart? Is he separate? He's not separate. Is he set apart? I think he's set apart right there. I think that what it means to be sanctified. See, here in the scriptures, Jesus says, "I pray that you do not take them out of the world. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by the truth." So they are not, that guy is not out of the world. He's in the world, and he's being sanctified at the same time. I think our purification comes through perseverance as we rely on the Holy Spirit through temptations and adversity and trials in the world. And, you know, if we're not in situations where that occurs, being set apart, being sanctified, that process is thwarted. And here, that person is relying on the Holy Spirit to be by them, to be by their side. And if you go back to the first point, that how are we sanctified? We're sanctified here in chapter or verse 17, sanctified by the truth. And if we remember from earlier on, the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of truth. So the Holy Spirit is the one sanctifying and plays a part, let's say, in our sanctification while we are in the world. But unfortunately, in our fear of being tainted by the world, we've removed ourselves from the world. And I think the opposite, we should realize the opposite is true. We're talking about the power of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit is in you, on you, and by you. And you should not be afraid of being influenced by the world. On the flip side, I believe with the power of the Holy Spirit, you should be excited to influence the world around you. And you cannot do that unless you are among other people that need to hear the gospel. Again, I'm not telling you to be stupid about it. You know, you might not convince me that you're going to go share the gospel with your friend who's going to the strip bar. You have to be wise about where you're going, what you're doing, and how you're involved with people. But if you're totally separate, the gospel, the spreading of the kingdom, is not going to happen. And the Holy Spirit is named Holy Spirit. So I would think that he would play a great part in our personal holiness and process to be sanctified, to be holy, to be like Jesus. So just to kind of, let me advance this here. If you haven't guessed already, we're trying to sanctify ourselves. So we're trying to make ourselves look good or be holy, and that's not our job. We have to put ourselves in a position to allow the Holy Spirit to change our lives and allow us to change the lives of others. Our sanctification comes through living a holy, Spirit-driven life in and amongst the sin and suffering all around us. All right, we're gonna have a race to the finish here. So I know everybody's, I'm saying Holy Spirit, and everybody's thinking picnic dessert. So I'm going to review Acts for a second. Pastor Ron, I think it was 2 weeks ago, talked about three examples in Acts. Acts chapter 2, chapter 8, and chapter 10. Acts chapter 2 is when the Holy Spirit came to the Jews. Acts chapter 8 was when the Holy Spirit came to the Samaritans, and Acts chapter 10 was when the Holy Spirit came to the Gentiles. Jesus asked the disciples to stay in Jerusalem to wait for the Holy Spirit. Can you imagine if they just left and tried to preach without the Holy Spirit coming? I think the whole thing would have fallen apart right away. So let's remember that the Holy Spirit is by our side, and let's go into Acts chapter 2 real quickly. If you remember, the Holy Spirit came upon the Jews in Jerusalem, and they spoke in tongues such that the people around them that had come for the feast from all these different nations heard the truth about Jesus, and Peter preached, and they became saved. Now, I'm wondering where they were. It doesn't exactly say. But the point is, they weren't in the Mount of Olives. They weren't still fishing on the Sea of Galilee. They were in some place in Jerusalem that when they were speaking in tongues, people around them heard them, and crowds gathered, and they were able to share the gospel. Peter and the rest of the disciples, I think, were probably a little nervous. They didn't know what was going on. They could have easily went and tried to protect themselves from the people, from the Romans, from the other Jews. They could have hid somewhere. They could have stayed fishing. But they were put themselves in such a place to allow the Holy Spirit to use them for mission in that purpose, in that place. So in chapter 2, I've just put here that the Spirit is the catalyst for mission. The Spirit spoke through the Jews, through Peter and the disciples, and spoke in tongues in the languages of the people there, and it became a catalyst for mission. In Acts chapter 8, I'm not gonna focus on there this morning, but Acts chapter 8 was Peter and John prayed for the Samaritans, and they had to lay on the hands to receive the Holy Spirit. And that Acts chapter 8 is kind of a bridge between the points here in Acts chapter 2 and Acts chapter 10. So let me get to Acts chapter 10 to finish up the morning here. So Peter, if you recall, Peter goes to Cornelius' house, and Cornelius is a Gentile, and Peter didn't really want to go, and he saw a vision of the sheet with the animals. And in verse 34 in chapter 10, Peter says, "I now realize how true it is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts men from every nation who fear him and do what is right." Peter's thought that the message was for the Jews only, and yet he's finally realized here that the message for Jesus, the message of Jesus, was also for the Gentiles. Peter also didn't want to go because he was afraid of being unclean. So the animals in the sheet, if you remember, were unclean animals. And Peter said, "Well, I can't do that. I've got my religious rules I have to follow. You know, that would make me ceremonially unclean. I just can't do that. So I need to stay away from that." But Peter started to begin to realize, how is he supposed to share the gospel? How would he spread the gospel to other people if he's afraid of being made unclean by them? So in Acts chapter 11, he's explaining what he did to the other disciples, and Peter was indignant to God that he would not interact with those that are unclean. And God's response to him was, "Do not call anything impure that God has made clean." And then the Spirit told Peter to have no hesitation in going to them. And God, in that moment, asked Peter to not separate himself from the world around him. He asked him to be the yellow guy in the middle of all the gray guys, and to not worry about some of these things that he was worrying about. Worrying about being clean, I think even it might even be in quotes in your Bible. And I think this applies today. Again, if you go back to the idea of sanctification, we might have the same problem. In our effort to be, quote-unquote, not tainted by the world or to be unclean, that we've avoided the people around us as well. And it's, I don't want you to get, you misunderstand what I'm saying, okay? I don't want you to write an email to Pastor Ron and say, "I think he said to go sin so you could share the gospel." That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying this morning is that the Holy Spirit is by you, and he's got the power in you to interact with everybody around you, to share the gospel with them in their hurting place. There's people that have issues. There's people that are around you that need to hear the love of Jesus, and if we're afraid to go there, then then I think we've missed the boat altogether. Let me just give you two quick examples, and I'm going to close up here. You know, the Pharisees had the same problem with Jesus. Jesus called Matthew. He went to, this is in Matthew chapter 9. He went to Matthew's house, and the Pharisees and the teacher of the law complained and asked, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And somehow, I think that's in our minds too. Oh, maybe we can't do this. Maybe we can't interact. Maybe we can't. And maybe we get that set up in our head. But Jesus' response is, it is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. In this instance, I'd rather be Jesus than be the Pharisees who was worried about their robes getting dirty and tainting their tassels and to meeting all the check marks, meeting all the requirements of the law. I'd rather be Jesus who... people didn't talk well of him, some of the people, the teachers of the law. They thought he wasn't, there's no way this guy was a Messiah. Look who he's hanging out with. Look who he's hanging out with. Sinners, tax collectors, prostitutes, women, Samaritans. I mean, what? There's no way. There's no way he's the Messiah. There's no way he's following the law and he's doing what is right. But in this case, I'd rather be Jesus than have the attitude of the Pharisees. Because if Jesus had the same attitude as the Pharisees reached nobody. They did nothing to share anything. People didn't. They wouldn't allow people to be in their club. They wouldn't. They were good. They were high and lofty, and that's not how Jesus was. He was among the people, sharing his love with them. The last scripture I just want to share this morning before closing is in 1 Corinthians 9. Let me just flip there real quick. One last example. And, okay, I got behind on that. Maybe you figured this out, but before I get to that last scripture, the degree of how good you are and how your obedience is does not determine your salvation. Your salvation is not determined by you meeting all the check marks. Jesus has died on the cross and rose from the dead and given you grace, and the Holy Spirit has sealed your salvation for heaven. And the Holy Spirit is the confirmation of mission. It's the confirmation you've received, and you can go to the bank on that. The Spirit is both the catalyst and confirmation for mission. So the Holy Spirit came down. It confirmed to Peter that the Gentiles too could hear the gospel and be saved. So that's the last point on there. Turn that off. So 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Short little verse, two verses. 9:22. Or actually, let's start back in 19. Though I am free and belong to no man, I make myself a slave to everyone to win as many as possible. To the Jews, I became like a Jew, to the wind of Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak, to win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that by all possible means I might save some. I do this for the sake of the gospel, that I may share in its blessing. We don't have time to go through all that, but if you're catching only a glimpse of that, you're catching a glimpse of what I'm saying today, that by the Spirit, Paul, in his journeys, and you can just read it, became all things to all men, so he could, by any possible means, save some. He did this for the sake of the gospel. He didn't do what he did to protect himself, to try to, you know, be better than everybody else. He says he forgot all about that. All that stuff that he did as a Pharisee, that it was rubbish. His goal in mission, by the power of the Holy Spirit, was for the sake of the gospel, to share its blessings with other people. Sometimes I feel like the Christian church has got this backwards. And by doing things our own way, and forgetting about the power of the Holy Spirit, that we've had no influence on the people around us. And in the words of Paul, I might flip it around, and this happens to me, but I might flip around that verse and say, we would become no thing to no man so that there is no possible means to save anyone. And I pray that that's not true, that we would have means and interaction to share the love of God with people around us. I don't want to be like the Pharisees. I don't want to be totally separate so that I cannot share the love of Christ with everybody. Just to conclude, I think that's maybe a downer way to conclude. So I want to just say, I feel like Living Hope, I just want to encourage you. I feel like everybody here is doing a great job. I mean, I feel like if I had this mic up here this morning and asked for people to come up that feel love and acceptance, no matter where they were and who they are, that we'd have a line and we'd never get to the picnic today. I just feel like that you here have not worried about those things, and you're worried more about spreading the gospel and showing the love of Christ to the people around you. So I want to encourage you in that this morning. I want to say, let's be a light to Lancaster County, where people in Lancaster County might be setting up their religious boxes, and we got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to, you know, protect ourselves. Let's be a light to Lancaster County and say, you know, we're a welcoming place, and we want you to hear the gospel. And it should not just be in this room. Part of mission is being incarnational, like Pastor Ron spoke about a while ago. So wherever you are, I encourage you to be a light where you are and to not avoid those situations that maybe are uncomfortable. Jesus doesn't promise you comfort. He promises to be by your side. So I want to exhort you this morning to go from here and by the power of the Spirit, with the Spirit by your side, with truth of the Spirit in you, be able to share the love of Jesus with those around you. Let me just pray. I want to pray for that over everybody this morning. God, we just ask that you give us eyes to see where you are working in the people around us. God, may we experience the power of the Holy Spirit as we go from this place. May it be in us and on us. May you use us to show your grace and your mercy to those around us. God, may we forgive us for the times where we have taken things into our own hands when it's really your job to do these things. God, help us to get out of the way of what you're trying to do through us. May you speak to us as we go from here. Maybe some people this morning, I'm just thinking, maybe some people this morning as they were listening, there's something in their minds, maybe there's a scenario that they've come to their minds that you need to take before the Lord. So I just want to pray for that this morning. God, if there are areas in our lives this morning that you want to speak to that we're hiding from mission, or we're hiding from sharing the gospel for some reason, God, I just pray that you would speak to our lives through the scriptures as we go from here throughout the week. God, if you are convicting us this morning, I just ask that we can humbly bow before you to hear what you have to say to us. God, we want your heart. We want your heart in reaching others. You love this world, and Lord, give us that heart, or some semblance of that heart, in some small measure, to love the world around us as well. Thank you. In your name, amen. Just to close, I'll dismiss everybody. If you want to come up this morning for anything, the altar is open again. We'll have Pastor Ron and some others to pray up here for you. If you want to pray for the Holy Spirit, that's fine. If you have a certain thing that you want to pray about, we'll also be up here for that as well. But you're dismissed. And if you want to play some music, and so you're welcome up front for prayer, and we'll see everybody. Do you have anything else, Pastor Ron? Okay. So everybody over at the picnic, as Kevin said, if you forgot, please come. Okay? We've got lunch for you. And even if you didn't, there's probably a Subway somewhere in between that you could get something. So please come. We want you to be there. Thank you.